about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
And we are live now. Thank you very much. If we can ask the clerk, please, Mr. Clerk, call the roll.
Blumenfield, Bonner, Busca, Inosa, Dio, Engler, Fuentes, Huizar, Carrasco, Corian, Labonge, Martinez, O'Farrell, Parks, Price, Wesson. 11 members present and a quorum, Mr. President.
Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and take item 17.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Derek Jeter, tonight in your dreams, you know what you're gonna hear? Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter. Go to sleep, Derek Jeter. Have a good night, Derek Jeter.
And now,
I'm gonna start watching soccer and tennis. This, sorry, mother.
Our feature presentation.
All right, I'm a Sue.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin to Beach Show. It is Thursday, the 2nd of...
Do we have it ready?
Hang on.
Okay.
It's the 2nd of Rocktober.
It does nice. Feel good, doesn't it?
Does a little, yeah.
How much... it's what time? 5:34 in the morning?
Yes.
How much chocolate has Beer Mug already had?
Boy, I don't.
5 ounces?
I don't know.
It's 5:30 in the morning.
12 ounces.
What difference? What
are you drinking there, Mugs?
Because he's going to crash in like a half hour. Then he's going to have. This is the thing. This is his cycle. He crashes and then gets
and then
juiced
he has to
up
poop.
Again. Yeah. Then he has to poop. Then he gets more chocolate.
I'm drinking a wonderful chocolate cappuccino from our awesome coffee machine.
We do have an
Look,
awesome coffee.
I don't
machine.
Doubt that it's awesome. But is that what you need, Mugs? Is that what you should be drinking is chocolate cappuccino?
Yeah.
It's what Kevin needs.
Yeah.
But Kevin looks like Kevin has the body of a normal person, though. Look at you. How is chocolate a choice you make this morning?
I'm a specimen of fine health, Bean, and it gets me going in the morning, and why not? And it cuts the regular coffee down a little bit, so I'm not drinking pure coffee because pure coffee just gets my stomach going.
Right, but you're filling it in with chocolate, though. What you're not drinking in coffee, you're drinking in chocolate. How is that ultimately better for you?
It's a lot of sugar, and it gets me going.
For like a half hour, and
right.
Then you fall on your head.
I'm satisfied.
I know is all the other times where I hear you complaining about how fat you are. Does that not cross your mind?
Well, it does. It always does. But I take into consideration the time of morning, and I'll be burning it off by noon. So it doesn't matter. It's going
oh, yeah, that's
right.
You are very active in this office job.
Yeah.
You probably will burn all of those calories off standing behind the control board.
He's
no, that's
halfway
good
to diabetes right now. You know that.
Could be just, much closer even than that.
No, probably.
I don't
yeah.
get the choices you make, Mugs. That's all I'm saying. I love you, buddy. I love you. I just don't get you. Okay? All right. Let me start with this story. This is fascinating, and I'm surprised that the lawsuit has just now been filed. This is an Ohio couple. Their names are Jennifer Cramblett is the one, and Amanda Zinken is the other. They are married. Jennifer is 36. Amanda is 29. And they went through a sperm bank to have a baby. Selected, you know, went down. I don't know a lot about how it works, but I guess you get out of the place and they show you bios and information about the person whose sperm you're going to be choosing. And
they show you pictures and stuff?
I don't think they – do they show you pictures, Lisa? Do you know? Or do they just give you descriptions? Because I think a lot of times the sperm donors are anonymous.
Yeah, they don't want
to. So I don't think they show you photos. But I think they will describe this person as, you know, 6'1 and blue eyes and blonde hair, whatever it is. All right. So Jennifer is 5 months pregnant, and they're married, and they're happy, and they're very excited about the birth of their baby coming soon. And they decide, hey, you know what? Let's call the sperm bank back, and let's reserve the same donor's sperm so that one day you, Amanda, if we so choose, can also have a baby, and they'll have the same father. So she makes the call, and they find out in researching the paperwork that there had been some sort of an error. They had selected sperm donor number 330, and instead they had been given sperm donor sample number 380,
okay.
Which was a completely different donor than the one that they had requested. The donor that they were given was also black, and they are white.
All right.
No.
So now she's 5 months pregnant, and she realizes, I am going to have a baby who is half African-American. She said her excitement in the lawsuit, her excitement about the pending birth was replaced with anger, disappointment, and fear. They took a personal choice, a personal decision, and took it on themselves to make that choice for us out of pure negligence. She did, of course, end up having the baby, who she loves to death. The baby is 2 years old. Her name is Peyton. She says she wouldn't change anything about her. But they are now having a lot of concerns, and it doesn't say, there aren't a lot of details in this article, but it sounds like maybe they're having some problems in the predominantly white community in which they live, where their daughter is experiencing prejudice now. And, you know, they hate it for obvious reasons. Sure. You don't want to see anybody, you know, be mean to your kid or whatever. So they have filed a lawsuit, and it says it seeks a minimum of $50,000 in damages, which seems awfully low for an error like this.
It really does.
Some of the compensation would pay for ongoing counseling, they say, in the lawsuit. They have been advised, by the way, that they should move to an area. They live in Uniontown, Ohio. They have been advised that they should move someplace that's a little more mixed race,
right.
Which might make it easier for them rather than the super white community that they're living in
right
now.
That was my first thought. Move.
Yeah.
Right, move. But, I mean, this is a tricky story for a lot of reasons, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, I can understand why you have the right to the product that you have selected out of the catalog.
Right.
But on the other hand, we are talking about a human being who isn't a mistake, you know, and it's part of their family, and they love this kid more than anything in the world. So it's kind of weird that they're suing about something that ultimately has been a tremendous blessing for them.
Well, plus, no, it's not weird at all.
Black children are the cutest.
There's no question
really
about that.
Are. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Asian kids are pretty cute, too.
Yeah.
Asian kids are super cute. Now, what are you saying, Lisa?
Well, I don't think it's at all shocking that they would sue, though. I mean, they may have to relocate, and that was a major screw-up.
It was a major screw-up, but it's funny because as major a screw-up it was just based on what ended up ultimately happening, it's such a minor screw-up about how easy it is if you're handwriting the number 380 versus the number 330. They look pretty darn close. It's easy to see how a mistake like this could happen.
Yeah,
I can see that.
But they
seems like you should double check in such an instance.
But here's the thing: if they're happy and they love the kid, it just seems weird to me that they would. I don't care.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah,
that's
I agree.
Really?
I agree
it's
with
still
you.
Still really big negligence. I mean, I don't care.
Right, but the
that kid turned out, they would love it.
Right.
So they may as well just give them whatever then, if that's your reasoning, because whatever kid they have, they will love. I mean,
that's why I say this is a little bit of a complicated issue.
I'm just saying, but who's hurt? Nobody in this particular case.
Yeah, but
well, they said they came out and they said it's fine.
They also say, by the way, that one of the reasons, and who knows if this is true, if this is something people say, one of the reasons they're suing is to try to prevent the sperm bank from making the same mistake again. They say that the sperm bank does not have electronic record keeping. They don't have the right quality controls, and this could happen again, and they don't want to see another couple go through this. So,
no, that makes sense to me, and it's a reasonable demand.
Yeah, you should be able to pick and actually have that happen.
Yeah exactly. I mean, look, forget that we're talking about a human. If you went into Best Buy, Kevin, and you said that's the TV I want, and they sent you one that was slightly different, you might still like that TV, but it still isn't the one you chose.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so make it right. But in this case, it's a person, so you can't just take it back and give you a new one.
Right.
So anyway, I'll keep my eyes peeled if this story comes back in the news and find out what happens. But I just thought that was super interesting.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Beecho, shall we?
That is something everyone cannot like together.
Yes. Got a brand new band that I love. Sorry, Rage. Got a brand new number one.
All right.
Going to introduce you to them in the 6 o'clock hour. Very excited about that. Remember yesterday we were talking about the Cuddle app. This is a thing. It's a real thing.
Yeah, so you don't believe it, but it is.
If you just want to cuddle, it's sort of like Tinder, except for it's just cuddling. That's all. No further. So people will arrange dates or times or whatever, and it could be in the park. It could be in a, I don't know, in a rest, wherever you can find space to lay down and cuddle. And Dave, the King of Mexico, thinks his girlfriend would be cool with that.
With him going and cuddling with somebody?
Yes. That's a little weird, right?
Well, Dave is the best hugger I know. So whoever got to cuddle with him would be very lucky.
See, what's Dave's girlfriend missing out on then here? She sounds like her loss if she's not accepting his... his panda bear like cuddles.
Well, we're gonna talk to her and find out exactly what's going on. Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have Martin Short.
Awesome.
One of the best comedians in a long, long, long time.
Yep. Comedy legend. National treasure.
And also Dr. Drew.
Okay.
On the program.
Yeah, nice job with the Ebola, doctor.
Yeah, now we all have Ebola basically by now, right?
Pretty much.
Seriously, I'm feeling feverish right now.
Megan, I just lost it. What?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nope. Was that you or was that Muggs?
Well. What do you think?
Sugar already wear off, Muggs.
Muggs, you need another whatever you had there?
Yes. Chocolate cappuccino.
I turned around while we were doing this, and I said, get me that music stab. And he said, okay. And he typed it up and found it, and then immediately went to something else. Why? I'm not exactly sure.
Okay.
And Ralph, by the way, is also at Universal Studios Hollywood for the Vein Drain Blood Drive. And we're going to check in with him and have the Showbiz Beat coming up next. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
K-Rock's Vein Drain Blood Drive is an annual thing that we do to try to redeem the other 364 days of the year where we do nothing for anybody. This is our good day. This is the day where we try to help out the community, and our own Ralph Garman is down at Universal Studios Hollywood. Where is the Globe Theater, Ralph, where you are located?
If you've been to Universal before, you know where Despicable Me is? You know where the Despicable Me ride is? They're sort of in the back lot area of the theme park?
Yes.
Yes, that's where we are, right there in the Globe Theater, and we're all set up for the Vein Drain Blood Drive.
It's unbelievable the prizes that you have down there given out to people, including tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood Horror Nights. You got Festival Supreme tickets, Bastille tickets, Jimmy Eat World, Newfound Glory, Black Keys, and so much more. Do you know? I know you just got there. I know that we were signing some people up ahead of time with appointments, but you can just come down and get blood this morning on the spur of the moment, too, right?
Absolutely. In fact, the doors are not quite open yet, so the line is long. Everyone is lined up, ready to give, but there's a ton of people already here. But come on down, and of course, we'll be here from 6 a.m. is when we open the doors till 3 p.m. this afternoon. So there's plenty of time to get down here and give some blood. It's the easiest way you can really save a life. And so we appreciate everybody coming down.
What's the policy on weed blood?
Weed blood?
Uh-huh.
Depends on the strain.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good.
Sativa they're taking today. So that's good.
Well, parking is free if you donate blood. You can go to KROQ.com for all the details. And, of course, we will be checking in with Ralph throughout the morning and find out how it's going. Let's take a quick look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. What is going on?
Charlie Sheen's losing his mind.
Again?
Yeah. He's been off work because he dove into the shallow end of his swimming pool.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
And busted up his face. So he had some take some time off from filming his TV show Anger Management, which has made his producers really pleased. And he's also been acting strangely. According to friends, he fired his longtime bodyguard. He has been seen dancing down a busy street making erratic gestures.
All right.
Maybe he had a date with Lindsay Lohan or something was coming up. Or he was at his dentist's office. This is a great story. And apparently he had an abscess. You know, his teeth are all janky.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So they were going to fix his teeth, and a dental technician was placing a mask over his face to administer the nitrous oxide, and that's when, according to TMZ, he went nuts, flailing his arms, striking her, and then pulling a knife on his dentist.
What?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Apparently, the dentist is still deciding whether to press charges or not. LAPD is currently investigating and looking at a possible battery charge against the dental technician that he struck, as well as assault with a deadly weapon for the alleged knife attack on the dentist. So we have to wait and see whether the LA County DA's office decides to prosecute
her. He was a pussy.
Not anymore.
So he is no longer winning, is what you're telling us, Ralph.
Well, we'll see if he gets away from if he gets away with this, he will be winning.
It's all good. It's all good, guys. Quit panicking.
That's what I'm saying. Quit panicking. Let's take a look at the birthday, shall we? Hold on one second. I got to try to pull him up here. I'm working in a unique situation here. Here we go. Sting is 63 years old today. Actress Lorraine Bracco turned 60. Bud, drummer of Sublime and Long Beach Dub All-Stars, is 47 years old today. Kelly Ripa turns 44. Tiffany's 43 years old. And Efren Ramirez from Napoleon Dynamite. Vote for Pedro. He's 41. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Why are you trying to torture our early morning listeners this week? Yesterday, you brought us the new Jaden Smith song. You made us listen to that.
Right.
And today you've got something called fart metal.
Really?
Yesterday was bad. Today is good.
What are you doing? Why do we need fart metal? Why does anyone need fart metal?
Here's the thing. I used to love Rage Against the Machine. That was my favorite band of all time.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you've long said that. Yeah.
And Muse was second. Mm-hmm. But they're both, they've changed. They're second and third now because fart metal exists. There's a guy on the internet. You can find it. We'll post it in a second. And it's metal music.
Mm-hmm.
But the singing is coming out of his ass.
No.
Yes.
Now, this is a...
And it's magic.
Wow.
This is through the miracle of editing, though. He's not fart singing live or anything like that, is he? I mean, it's not a one-take thing. He collected a bunch of sounds and cut them up, I hope.
Honestly, I'm not positive about his entire process. I'm just telling you that it's fart metal.
Well, I haven't been to the...
What do you need?
I haven't been, so I haven't read anything about it. I didn't know how much detail he went into it.
All right. Let me play a little for you. Maybe that'll...
Well, I don't think we need to hear it.
No,
I mean,
if I played you a little fart metal, maybe it would become your favorite
band as
well. Yeah, but
I think the description, though,
no,
I think is enough.
No, I think I need to hear the
Lisa
fart metal.
Needs to hear it. That's what I'm talking about.
Fart metal. All right, stop right there. Stop right there. And don't feel like you need to go back to it. This is Seamus Policelli, I guess is his name. His quote is, "Every fart you hear is real and came from my own butt."
Well, that is important. Sourcing is always important.
So, best song ever?
He doesn't want us to think that he stole somebody else's farts or that he surreptitiously was recording his neighbors in the netter. This is all him, man. He owns it.
So, Bean, you're agreeing with me now. New favorite band.
I've heard enough. I don't know about you guys. I have heard enough. I don't. Come on.
I have never made those noises.
Yeah.
With my body.
Well, he's talented. Let's be honest. He's
there is something about that.
He's really talented.
Yeah.
Now, if you are a 13-year-old boy. Or I guess Kevin, this would be the greatest thing you've ever heard in your life.
My new favorite band. Now they do a change. They change up a little bit.
Okay.
Change the pace. Change what they're doing.
Oh, it's a breakdown.
Come on.
He that just last walks one was around recording.
You guys are
fun?
Telling me if fart metal was playing, you would not listen to it. You
no,
would not watch
I would
it.
Not.
What?
I
First
need a
of
ballad.
All, that last
I'm
one
not
was,
sure
a little,
they have a ballad.
Was a little too wet for my taste also, by the way. If I can say that.
Come on.
I know what you're trying to do here, Kevin. I know that you're starting to just put it out there in the ether. You know, it's already October.
That's right.
Feast of Christmas is right
That's
around
right.
the corner.
You
start
tell
thinking
me,
about Axe.
Bean, tell me that the crowd would not go crazy at Acoustic Christmas with fart metal.
I think there are
you tell me.
A certain number of people, you, Catherwood, maybe a couple of others, that would really get off on it. That would super, like, think it was great.
But
I think the vast majority of the audience would not enjoy it.
Even people who don't like fart humor. This is a guy on stage doing metal music. I mean, this has everything.
Now, what does this do for your love of the hand farter? Are you no longer impressed with him? Because he used to be a guy that you held in very high
he's
esteem as well.
He's way up there as well. I mean, he's probably top 10 easily still.
But a butt farter way has to beat a hand farter, right?
This is a hand farter. Doing a very difficult song. Pretty low key though, right?
I mean, he
like
has
there's
been.
No, there's no energy.
Yeah, he's kind of been repositioned now that we've heard fart metal a little bit. I gotta be honest.
Let the fart festival begin.
All this week, we are hooking you up with tickets for Six Flags Magic Mountains Fright Fest. Congratulations to Amber Bryan from Garden Grove. She just won hers a few minutes ago. We got them for you every hour today on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can get your details at krock.com.
Time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Last week, it was an accident, but Ralph came in on Thursday and said, "Woo, it's Friday. How great is that?"
Oh, that hurt.
Got us all excited for a second, didn't he?
And then Stupid Bean started playing the song "No Bogart."
Yes.
And it was still on Thursday.
Yes.
And that was rough.
It's Monday, 5:53. Not even a half hour into your Monday show. And you play Third Eye Blind. Thanks for ruining my work week, assholes.
Yeah, that wasn't the one I thought it was it?
Nope.
Not even a little bit.
Certainly different than the setup.
Not even a bit. This guy wants to skip right over Halloween Spooks, by the way. He's already done with that. It's time to move on.
It's the 2nd of October. How could he already be tired of the spooks?
Forget Halloween Spooks. It's time to start thinking about Miss Double D.
Well, that I get.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
If there's one thing that could replace it would be that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out how to slow down time, by the way, so that we don't have to give Britney back. Because she is an awesome Miss Double D.
Yes.
I wish she could reign for more than a year, I guess.
Listen,
is what I'm saying.
I say that every year. I say we just add them.
Yes.
We keep Miss Double December, and then we just add another one.
So right now we'd have like 11 of them.
Yes.
And they would all still be in our orbit.
How could that be bad?
Yeah, that's true. It's a pretty good idea. Might have to think about that.
Bean hates food, and this is a really weird thing that we found out, that he loves chocolate milk, and he has a fridge that his wife doesn't know about.
Yes.
He hides the fridge, and in the fridge he puts the chocolate milk because he's frightened to death that one time he's going to want chocolate milk and it's going to be gone.
Oh, she doesn't really drink it.
She doesn't like it either.
Yeah.
Right. I may be taking too many steps to ensure that chocolate milk is there for me when I want it. I mean, it is in a room in the basement behind a whole bunch of boxes and lawn furniture. I don't think she could get to it even if she knew it were there.
It is there or it was there.
I just want to let you know I broke into Dean's house and finished all the chocolate milk. I actually didn't even drink it. I just poured it outside.
Oh!
You wound me, sir.
Wouldn't that have been awesome?
Yes.
No. Hey, everybody. It's three-quarters Christmas today. It's three-quarters Christmas. What? What do you mean you don't care? Oh, it's not a thing. You mean?
Yeah.
I was all excited for a second that I was getting three-quarters holiday greetings.
I think that girl needs an award.
Yes,
well done.
Awesome.
Hey, Bean, did they ever find that airplane?
Thank you for asking, by the way. No.
Remember when that was going on? And every day, Bean would come in and go, "What happened to the airplane? I have to know what happened to the airplane." And then like a month later, when none of us were thinking about it, he asked it again.
Yes.
I tweeted yesterday or the day before.
Oh, man.
Hey, no clowning around. Where's the plane? Because I feel like somebody out there knows something, but they're just not telling.
Yeah.
Rock out with your doc on the rock out.
All right, now, I want your opinion. Did the laughing make that a good delivery?
No.
I just know he's stoned.
Right.
He's definitely stoned. Yeah. He was too happy with himself for that.
This is the Don't Bogart. Playing too early, and okay. When you play it too early, you screw everybody up.
Ralph, you bastard. You can't play that song on a Thursday. You ruined my whole weekend already. Ah!
Way to go, Ralph.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude. Bean always says hit it, Steve, every time there's something to play.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve called.
Hi, I'm Steve. I hit it.
Thank you, Steve. Good to hear from you, sir.
After all these years,
finally.
It's about time Steve hit it.
I thought he quit.
Hey, can you play that clip of Kevin when he tries to do like an impression of the lead singer of Korn, and he goes like, "Bum, chicken, chicken, bum, bum," or something like that. Play it. It's funny.
Yeah, we can. Here's Kevin. It's good stuff.
It sounded like Korn to me.
Kevin, just let me talk to Mandy.
All right, now this is I got a new cell phone number. And Mandy has the best life in the world. And she's in Ibiza, and she's in France, and she's in New York, and then she's in Miami.
She's got a lot of friends.
All of her friends were texting me. I actually had to change my cell phone number again because of her. And so this guy really... And by the way, part of the story was I had beef with Granny, and Granny did not believe that it was not... Mandy's phone. So she insisted she called up. She started cursing me out.
Serious, Kevin. I just need to talk to Mandy. I don't like playing these games. God damn it, Kevin. I swear to God, if you don't let me talk to Mandy right now, I'm coming over there. Where's Mandy, Kevin? Where the f*** is she?
Seriously, Kevin. Why are you bogarting Mandy? Just put her on the phone.
I never found out what that was about. Never did. Changed my number. Just said, you know what? Can't do it. Can't do it anymore.
There's an article. We may have to get into this at another time on the show, but there's an article going around online this week, Kevin, about a woman who went and got a new cell phone number, and it turned out that it was Chris Rock's old cell phone number.
No kidding.
And she started doing, started keeping a blog about all the calls she was getting and the people who would call. Jack Nicholson would call. Seinfeld would call.
Did all she these talk to them?
Yes, she talked to quite a few of them. Of course, she talked to a lot of assistants as well. But she talked about how crazy it was that every time she would get another call from a number she didn't recognize, she just got so excited because she didn't know who she was going to end up talking to. And then eventually the word got back to Chris Rock, and Chris Rock ended up calling her. And she ended up talking to him about it. I mean, it's just fascinating.
Yeah, I didn't get Chris Rock, by the way. I got Mandy.
You got Mandy, exactly.
Not exactly the same. When people understand me, it scares them.
I was listening to Kevin's Moment With, and it started to make sense. That's when I realized I have a drinking problem.
Or you've had a stroke.
Yeah, one or the other.
Help, Mom! Outside my window!
All right, just to make sure you can understand this, because it's a great impression. Cat's mom. Outside my window.
Help, all right. Mom! Outside my window! What's that? Help, Mom! Behind the tree! Now, why would you need that? I wish I mentioned it could see. Maybe you can definitely hear Cat's Mom from the top of a tree, and it's Cat's Mom outside my window pane! God, it's so hot! Sounds great!
Really? That's almost perfect!
It's
that's
great.
Pretty good. It's pretty darn good.
Great impression. And finally, remember Meat Free Monday from Paul McCartney?
Sure,
and nonsense?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a fun day.
Yeah.
And it's happening all around the world.
All right, so this is a mashup, I believe, of Meat Free Monday and Halloween Spooks. It's Meat Free Spooks.
Meatless Monday, Meatless Monday, oh, Meatless Monday. Vegan things are going to happen. Ooh wah, ooh wah. Meatless Monday, outside my Prius. Meatless Monday with broccoli. I wish Paul McCartney could see that I don't want to end up like Morrissey and his Meatless Monday outside my window pane.
Not bad. It's better than the original, right?
Yep.
I have no idea what that means.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Hey!
A little better. Not everybody was there.
That was great.
I didn't hear a lot of Bean. Didn't hear a lot of Ralph.
Hey.
I thought it sounded good.
Hey, speaking of Green Day, did anyone remember to wake up Billy Joe Armstrong a couple days ago? Are we cool with
Man,
that?
Man, do I want to kill you?
Hey, very special morning here on the Kevin Abid Show. If you're a Ralph Garman fan,
wake me up in September.
Guys, a vampire is staring me down here.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Seriously, there's a vampire.
That's
here
how they're taking blood. Kind of creepy.
I think his girlfriend digs me. That's why he's worried.
I was starting to say it's a very special day here on the Kevin Abid Show, particularly if you're like most people who only listen for Ralph Garman, because you get a chance to hang out with Ralph Garman in person today. He is at the Globe Theater on the lot of the Universal Studios Hollywood for K-Rock's Vain Dream. What's the situation down there, Ralph?
A lot of people ready to bleed. That's
fantastic.
All I know.
Same thing at a Raider game, by the way. Same thing. Exactly.
Now, it sounds to me like they're really churning through those people, because we can hear you when we're off the air, and they're calling out numbers of people who had appointments, like calling number 30, calling number 35. I mean, it sounds like they're just zipping on through them.
A lot of people did sign up early so that they could get in and give their blood and then get on to school or work, wherever they're heading. But we will be here until 3 p.m., so don't be intimidated. Come on down and get in and line up and give your blood. There's plenty of room.
You don't have to make an appointment, right?
You don't have to, okay. No. Some people did, I guess, to get out early so they'd get back to school or work or something, which makes sense. But like I said, we'll be here till 3 p.m., and there's plenty of room, so come on down. You can park in the Frankenstein lot here at Universal Studios. Is the closest one to get to the Globe Theater, which is where we are. And if you come down, we've got lots of prizes to give away, including tickets to some great events like Kings of Leon at the Hollywood Bowl.
Nice.
Happening this weekend. Newfound Glory, Dirty Heads, Festival Supreme, of course, the comedy music festival done by Tenacious D. Queens of the Stone Age, Jimmy Eat World, the Black Keys, Foster the People, a ton of tickets to give away and lots of cool prizes. And very nice people down here who will give you a cookie after you bleed for them.
Yeah, that's hi, awesome. This is David Hasselhoff.
Hey, Dave.
Listen, no. I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Well, you come down here, you get tickets by coming down here to the Globe Theater.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, where is there...
Universal Studios. Globe Theater is where we're doing the vein drain blood drive.
All right, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Oh, Dave's not chatty anymore.
I guess not. Hey, the blood drive is sponsored by Annabelle, by the way, in theaters everywhere tomorrow.
I'm sitting next to freaking Annabelle as we speak,
yes!
By the way.
At KROQ.com. Oh,
she is wigging me right
doll?
The F out. Right the F out.
And that's she's a fear here of yours anyway.
I hate creepy dolls. I hate creepy children in horror movies first. I hate creepy children in life,
yeah.
Too, but in movies especially. But then, like inanimate objects that are possessed, shut the front door.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Not and she's fan. Sitting right next to me. She's from The Conjuring. Remember The Conjuring? At the end of Conjuring,
yeah.
You see Annabelle?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is Annabelle's sort of origin story, this film, the prequel.
She looking at you?
Comes out October the 3rd. She's not looking
you?
At me.
Right.
Not yet.
All right.
Oh, now she's rocking by herself. Yeah, she's possessed.
You're going to die.
Let's get to some showbiz news while we have a couple minutes.
Jeff, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
Hasselhoff, seriously,
really,
stop
put down
it.
The bottle.
Right.
There's a new online challenge to raise awareness for charity. By the way, you need to be aware of it's happening amongst all the celebrities. It's the newest, hippest thing. Everybody's going to be doing it. Remember the ice bucket challenge?
Yeah. Is this worse or better?
This well depends on how you look at it.
All right.
This is from the Testicular Cancer Society.
Uh-oh. I already don't like it.
They are trying to raise awareness for testicular cancer the way the Ice Bucket Challenge raised awareness for ALS.
Right.
It is called the Crotch Grab Challenge.
Okay.
It's from a UK charity called Check12.
That's awesome.
Which is actually their name, the program trying to get people to check their testicles.
Okay.
Hence, Check12, because most of us have two.
Right.
Except for Beer Mug, who has none.
Hey, right. Hey.
And they're challenging celebrities to go online and take pictures of themselves grabbing their crotch and checking their testicles.
I know you're nuts, sir.
So far, Hugh Jackman has done it. William Shatner has done it. Ricky Gervais has accepted the challenge, and it's just like the Ice Bucket Challenge, where you grab your nuts and you take a photograph, and then you post it on social media with the hashtag #FeelingNuts.
Wow.
And then you challenge other people. So,
are you nude when you do this, or you have clothes?
Am I personally nude when I do this?
Are you supposed to?
No, you can do it through your clothes. Like Hugh Jackman apparently is in some sort of dance rehearsal or something in his photo, and he's grabbing his nuts. And
now,
he
the
challenged
thing about
other people to do it.
The ice bucket challenge, though, is that you made a donation or challenged others to, and that's how they raised all the money. Is there any cash component to this at all, or is it just we want pervy pictures of people filling themselves up?
It's not enough that we're grabbing our nuts for you, Bean. You need money, too.
Well, I'm saying for the charity aspect. I mean,
donation to the National Society of Ball Cancer. I don't know. I mean, look it up. Do some research. Open up a blog.
I love those balls so much.
I will tell you that I don't know anything about testicular cancer, and I don't know what
you don't know anything about testicles.
Yeah, I don't know what you're supposed to feel for. I guess just anything that feels unusual, right?
You're supposed to examine your testicles and feel for any lumps or usually the testicular cancer will present as sort of like a pea-sized lump on one of your testicles, and that apparently is what you're looking for. So get down there and start rolling them around, boys.
Here's the theme song.
All right, then. Today's celebrity birthday, Sting is 63 years old today. At 63, he had sex with his wife for 14 hours.
Bastard.
Because he loves that tantric sex. Actress Lorraine Bracco, you may remember her from Goodfellas or as Tony Soprano's shrink on The Sopranos. 60 years old today. Bud, drummer of Sublime and Long Beach Dub All-Stars, is 47 today. Kelly Ripa, talk show host and actress, is 44. Tiffany, the singer. Remember I Think We're Alone Now?
I think we're alone now. Doesn't seem to be anyone
that was a huge hit, right?
Massive hit, yeah.
It was.
There and she is a, was the biggest star, really, to kick off the phenomenon known as the mall tour. That's really how she made her bones, is she would show up at shopping malls everywhere, and people would show up, and she would perform in malls and crowds. And that was, it's ironic, because now she actually works in a mall. She works at a hot dog on a stick. So she's gone full circle with her career.
There is a documentary that you can see on Netflix called I Think We're Alone Now that is all about, to this day, crazy, obsessive Tiffany fans.
Sure.
Who still worship her. Yeah.
Well, we all do, don't we?
Yeah, she's got quite the cult following out there still.
Yes, she does. As does Efren Ramirez from Napoleon Dynamite. Vote for Pedro. He's 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin Amin Show. The great Martin Short will be joining us later on. Dr. Drew. So much more on the way here on K-Rock. First, though, I think we've got a little in-house problem we've got to address, a little family issue we need to talk about.
Just a second, Dave. Hold on 1 second. Oh. How about a little music, Bean? How about a little sad music? Because our man, Dave, the King of Mexico, is having real trouble.
Dave's having problems?
Yeah. And we all love Dave, so this was really difficult for us.
Well, we do hate to see Dave sad.
Yeah, guys, I have a problem, and the problem is at home, where, you know, I have a girlfriend, right?
Right.
And, you know, I'm an affectionate guy.
Yes.
And okay.
I'm a softie.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't get to see my girlfriend much.
Right.
And so when I do, I just want to cuddle. And I just want to snuggle and sit on the couch and watch TV,
because
that's what I do.
Is that your first move on the way to sex? Or are you fine just to cuddle?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine just to do that. So I do that. You know, I like to do that. So I've been trying and trying and trying, and we've both been busy.
Well, you work a tremendous amount of hours.
I do.
She has a job that requires a lot of traveling, so there aren't a lot of times where you're both home and available.
Exactly. So when I do, I get stonewalled. She is having none of it.
She won't cuddle with you?
None of the cuddling.
Is sexy time happening, but no cuddling, or neither is happening?
Stop calling it sexy time.
Yeah, the sexy time happens from time to time. It's fine. I'm fine with that.
No problem with that.
Yeah, no problem with that.
Zero cuddling.
It's just the cuddling.
Yeah.
Now, this is odd. Lisa, help me out with this. Isn't this the opposite of the problems that most women have? Most women, they don't get nearly enough cuddling, right?
That's right. It's usually the woman that's complaining about this.
It's usually sex or nothing.
Yeah, are you guys shocked that I'm the one that's the...
I'm not shocked, but it is a
that I'm the one complaining? Yeah.
So what does she say when you just want to sit on the couch? You're talking about you guys want to sit on the couch. You'd like to sit on the couch, watch TV together, but be real close, like have your arms around each other, kind of snuggle a little bit?
Yeah, kind of just, you know, sit up next to each other and, you know, just hug it out or whatever.
And what does she say?
She literally, like, stiff arm, like a Heisman pose. Just, get out. No.
Do you know
why? Did she say why?
I don't know. What? I don't know why. That's why I need your help.
Well, let's ask her. We've got her on the phone.
Okay.
Let's ask her about this.
Babes?
Babes?
Hi.
Babes?
No. Oh, we woke her up, by the way. So.
Oh, really? We can't tell.
How have you been, Krista? We haven't talked to you in a long time.
I'm good. Good morning.
Well, it's good to have you on. I don't know if you heard all of what Dave was saying, but it sounds like there's trouble in paradise.
I can't do it. Why? Because I get home and I sit on the couch and he just wants to, like, put, he's like a cat. Like, he puts his head there.
Right.
He starts, it's hot here in LA. It's hot and Dave's a big boy and it can get hot and sweaty just by cuddling.
Okay, but it's not hot every day of the year.
You have air conditioning, right?
We do.
Yeah, we do, but yeah.
But I mean, look, you love Dave and you guys live together and you're planning a future together, and he just wants to be affectionate with you. It seems like that's all win, Krista.
It is, but isn't affection just sitting there and watching the same TV like Shark Tank? And isn't that enough?
It's something.
But it could be anybody sitting next to you if there's like no affection.
Is this a blanket policy always? Like, do you ever snuggle or cuddle?
No, but he wants it all the time.
So maybe let's make sure Dave's telling us the truth here. So, Dave, are you like pestering her to the point where like she can't get up and walk across the room without you grabbing onto the, her clothes?
No, I'm not jumping on her back and holding her down. No,
under her ankle.
Not true.
You know,
not
she
true.
hold on. She comes home. You know, she comes home way later than I do because we have way different schedules.
Right.
And I do try to cuddle. You know, make sure she gets comfortable, and then you know,
and then
we snuggle, and then she, you know, stiff arms me, and then that's it. And I get sad, and I sit in the corner and womp and weep. Yeah,
but she said it's like a cat, like you're pouncing on her, and you won't leave her alone. Is that accurate?
No, it's not accurate. I say it's like a cat when I first try. You know, a cat wants to cuddle up next to you.
Do you give her a second when she walks in the door?
I mean, maybe I should give her a little more time.
I mean, she walks through the door. Maybe she doesn't want to be attacked at that second.
But I gotta go to bed, man. So
you got a schedule.
Yeah, I got my own schedule that I gotta deal with.
Right.
So I don't have much time to let her put her stuff down. It's gotta be now. And these TV shows are only an hour. So listen, we have time.
Look, So far, I'm ruling with Krista, by the way. I don't know about you guys, but this sounds like Krista's making the right call.
Well, you know, so since she won't cuddle me, I think I found a solution. We were talking about the app Cuddler yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Why not just let someone else cuddle with me?
Well, there's a thought.
That makes sense.
I mean, he has cuddling needs that are not being met.
Krista?
No.
See? Why is she holding me down?
You don't want to cuddle with him, and there's an app where Dave can actually meet somebody that there's no sex, that they just cuddle. Doesn't that take him off your hands so that he's not always trying to cuddle with you? Doesn't that help you?
No, this is why we need a dog.
But you guys both work too much and are gone too much to have a dog. It wouldn't be fair for a dog. So that's not a good solution. Now, there is a cat cafe in L.A. this weekend.
And I'm going today, man.
He can go and cuddle with a cat.
I will be there at 4. Yeah.
That's temporary, you know. But Krista, like Lisa said, there's no sex involved. It's a platonic cuddling experience. Dave could cuddle with somebody, get all that out of his system, and then treat you like an adult and a human when you get home.
It's just creepy and weird.
Yeah, I agree.
But just imagine that they're all Dave's cuddling.
Oh, good.
Right?
Good.
Then it's not really creepy or weird.
With big boobs, though.
The female version of Dave with the male version of Dave.
And Dave, you're being completely sincere here. This is not some sort of backdoor plan that you can cheat
backdoor
or anything like that.
No,
I mean, I'm
of
saying...
Of course not.
Your intention
not.
Isn't to fool around.
No, not at all.
Fool around or anything. It's literally just cuddling as the app is set up to be.
I just want to get my fix and then go home.
So, I mean, is this any different, Krista, than his favorite food is something you don't cook, so he goes out to a restaurant and gets it?
I mean, no, it doesn't really count.
What do you mean?
Favorite,
it doesn't count.
Food, pizza, he won't leave the house. He just dials it. So I'm assuming the cuddlers come to my house.
No, they're going to come to work.
No, you can meet.
They're going to come to work. I don't have time to go out there. They're going to come here, and we could cuddle on our denim couch, and then they could be on their way. That way, I won't get murdered. That way, they'll feel safe, and they don't get murdered.
And people in the office can keep an eye on Dave.
Exactly.
To make sure that he's, you know.
It's in a public place.
Playing by the rules.
Everyone feels comfortable. So, Dave, you would lay down on that couch that Grandma slept on, by the way. You would lay down on that couch with a perfect stranger and cuddle just in an office setting with other people going about their business at K-Rock around you?
Totally. Why not?
All right. This is getting weird.
Need to see this.
Not to mention, he's got a job that he should be doing and not cuddling.
Hey, I could take a break, man. 15 minutes.
People go outside to smoke.
Exactly. I get my cuddle break.
All right, let me ask. How about if it's at work, Krista? How about that?
Have at it if it's at work.
All right.
Okay.
Have at it.
Right. Kevin, you in? Oh, wait. Is that
does
what
he need to cuddle?
What? Hey.
What do you want from me?
No, that brings
how about,
up.
Hold on. That brings how about up, if it's at the motel next door to work?
Ooh, the Seaway? No way, dude.
Yeah,
I'm not going to go
there.
It's
got all the X-rated movies on it.
Yeah, I don't want to go there.
How about a dude?
Is it always mixed sex?
That would take all of it away, Krista. That would be perfect. He's snuggling with a dude.
Do it.
All right, cuddler app, here I come.
I wonder how most people would rule on this. Because I would guess most would say, like Krista was, yeah, probably not.
I mean, it's a long...
That's physical contact, even though it's supposed to mean nothing.
It's kind of along the lines of someone who will not have sex with their spouse, and then the spouse goes, okay, if that's the deal, then I get to go.
Right.
And they go, no.
Right. That's right.
Doesn't seem fair.
Well, let's take – do we have time? Can we take some calls on this? Because
yeah.
I would be interested to know if you were in Krista's shoes and you've heard the scenario as it has been laid out to us here this morning, is it okay for Dave to use the Cuddler app, get some non-sexual cuddling out of his system, and then go home and not be pawing Krista to death?
I would ask, is it okay for either one? I would ask for your girl or your guy, whoever is your significant other.
Yeah.
Boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, would it be okay if they use the Cuddler app? Just to cuddle. There's no sex.
Just for cuddling. Okay. All right, let's open up the phone lines. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear what your ruling would be on this if you were in this situation. Chris, are you going back to sleep?
Yes.
You know Dave's going to drive home and start cuddling you. You know that.
No, this is my cuddle-free time.
That is your whole life, your cuddle-free time?
Thank you, Krista. Bye now. All right, we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067 after this. Talking about the Cuddler app, where you meet people and all you do is cuddle. That's it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Non-sexual.
That's right.
Supposedly.
King of Mexico is having problems. Our producer here on the Kevin and Bean Show has a panda-sized hole in his heart because he likes to cuddle. His girlfriend, Krista, says it's too hot. Although I don't think we had enough appropriate follow-up questions on how is it too hot if they have air conditioning in their apartment.
You did ask if they had air conditioning. Yes. She said yes.
She said yes.
How do we not follow that up?
So apparently it's still too hot to cuddle with Dave, or Dave is just all hands or something's going on, but Dave is dissatisfied that he's not getting enough cuddling at home. Krista says she doesn't want to do the cuddling, but she's not that crazy about him using the Cuddler app to cuddle with someone else. So we're asking you at 1-800-520-1067, what would your ruling be on that if you were in the same situation? And let's start with Stacey. She's on line one. She's in L.A. Hi, Stacey. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi.
So your dude. Cuddle app, yes? No.
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 No, it's still cheating in a way.
It's still cheating.
How is it cheating? It's completely non-sexual.
Because you're still having physical contact with another woman.
Right. I can...
It's just... Because when you're cuddling, you have your hands all over someone, and your hands could wander. You never know.
But the whole point of this, again, is we're going under the premise that Dave is telling the truth, and I think that he is, that he's not trying to turn it sexual. It's just the cuddling that he misses, that he wants. He's not trying to, you know, put his hands on parts he's not supposed to touch or anything like that. There's no kissing. It's just holding. Still a no?
What about the other person?
What about the other? The other dude?
Assuming it's a woman, Kevin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
So you're saying, what if the other person just can't resist getting in, copping a feel on Dave?
Exactly.
You haven't met Dave. There's no danger of that.
Honestly, I would guess, wow, that's weird. I would guess that you would have a problem with 95% of the guys that want more and 5% of the girls that want more.
I would imagine that's true.
You know what I mean?
The women aren't the thing to worry about.
Yeah. Right.
All right, Stacey, we're going to put you down as a no. You still think it's cheating because of the physical aspects of it. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. All right, let's go to Melissa. She's up next. She's on line two.
Hey, Melissa.
Hi. It's not cheating because they're both agreeing that it would be okay, but it's not a good idea because you're opening your relationship up for another person to meet the other person's needs. So it's a no. She needs to work on trying to meet his needs. Obviously, it's important. He brought it up to you guys. He's opening himself up to massive scrutiny, but you guys are being cool about it.
Yes, we are, because that's what we do.
It's no.
Okay.
I gotta go.
So
do
you have
a...
Bye.
Okay, bye. Melissa was in a hurry. Wow.
That is the question, though. Like, people even have said that affairs have saved their marriage because they would have left completely otherwise, and then they fix things. So maybe in a way this would save Dave's relationship, because at some point, if he's not getting what he wants, he may just have to leave.
Yeah, right, I agree.
It could be a big deal.
I don't think Dave would. I think he would just sob quietly in the corner.
Well, that seems sad.
So that Melissa, though, said that she was worried that he now meets another woman who's satisfying his needs, and that could lead to trouble in the relationship.
Right.
Would that be the same thing as what if you had a passion on a particular subject or hobby or something like that that your spouse had no interest in, and you had a member of the opposite sex that was the person you talked about that stuff or did that stuff with. Same thing, meeting needs that your spouse doesn't meet. Same problem?
Do you have a specific in mind?
Yes, and sometimes those things do lead to affairs.
Right.
I mean, I guess that's the dangerous.
Anytime you have some sort of a connection with another person, I guess there's a possibility of it going more, even if you start out, like in the case of the Cuddler app, both going into it expecting that that's not going to happen. All right, let's go to our other Melissa on the line. She's in Canoga Park. She's on line six.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very good, thanks. Cuddler app.
Okay, so I would be okay with it if it were just cuddling. Like, if it stays at the cuddling rate, totally fine.
I'm not sure if they have, like, a referee there that throws a flag or blows a whistle or something, if something's going on.
My concern would be, like, guys, when they cuddle, they tend to get, like, weird, random, awkward boners. And that could, like, potentially lead to something else, even if it doesn't start out as that. I mean,
the weird, awkward boners, by the way, were at the Troop last night, and they were great.
I hear they got a new sound. They retired the banjo player.
That's great.
So you're saying even if you go into it and both parties' intentions are completely platonic, that sometimes human on human just starts a fire?
Yeah.
Look, that can happen. Weird, awkward boners can happen in the wind.
At church.
At any point.
At your father's funeral.
So you think it would just be a little bit too weird because of the nature of guys?
Yeah, I think so. And right. I mean, I've been in a relationship a long time. I completely trust my boyfriend. I don't, you know, I'm a cuddler, so he doesn't have to do the app.
All right.
But,
okay.
Yeah, it would still be a little bit weird. But again, if it were just cuddling, you know, that'd be fine.
All right. So you're fine with it in principle as long as it stays platonic. Gotcha. All right, Melissa, thanks for the call. Let's do one more. Let's talk to Chris. She's on line eight. I think she's the first one we have with a completely different opinion.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Great.
Cuddler app.
I think it's great.
You think it's great? Do you have a boyfriend or husband?
A husband.
Husband, okay. And you'd be cool if he went on Cuddler on the app and found somebody else that he could cuddle with?
As long as there was no sex, yes, definitely.
And you would trust that, and you would believe that, and you would be comfortable and confident in that.
Because I trust him.
Okay.
All right.
There's Chris. Hmm. She has an evolved relationship, or she's completely living in the dark.
And one of the two. Divorce soon. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Oh, man. It's Kevin and Micho, 7:37.
You're excited. I can hear it. You're excited. It's that time of year again.
Because it's bad, right?
We play it because it's awesome, Kevin.
No, but seriously. Ooh, ooh,
ah. Come on, sing it if you know it.
Halloween spooks outside my window.
No!
Halloween spooks behind the tree.
No!
I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Kevin, you're not a heartless bastard. You like seeing the kids happy, right?
I do. I love Halloween, too.
Mm-hmm. The kids are so happy when they hear Halloween spooks. Do you see how much response we get from our listeners? Those who say it's not the Halloween season until they've heard Halloween spooks on the Kevin and Bean Show for the first time. People who are writing in and going, hey, I haven't heard it yet. When are you guys going to play it? I mean, it's a transition of the season.
It's online, people.
Halloween spooks.
Go ahead and
Halloween
look it up.
Halloween spooks is a big, big part of listeners this time of year. They want to hear it.
Wait.
Your favorite part?
Really? I mean, really?
Now, I know your complaint is that the song was made in 1962 and should never have been played again after 1963. That's your complaint, is that much of the Halloween music is just too old, right?
Well, that's one of my complaints. This particular one should have never been played, even when it was made, because it's terrible. But the problem is, we don't have a lot of Halloween songs.
You know, it's funny. I was on iTunes yesterday looking at Halloween music, and it is crazy how old so much of it is. I mean, the songs that people play this time of year, you know, whether it's Don't Fear the Reaper or Werewolves of London
off.
Or...
Let's turn this one off.
Or turn it off.
Halloween spooks off behind the tree.
But you're right. A lot of the stuff comes from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and it doesn't seem like there's very much new Halloween music that's either being made or being played. And what's up with that? Because Halloween is a holiday that so many people are really into, and it kind of lends itself to songs about scary things.
How old was this song?
They did the monster mash.
The
was a graveyard smash.
I think that was 1962, I want to say. Sounds right for Bobby Boris Pickett.
So 62.
Right.
1962. Yeah.
And it's still by far the most famous and popular of all the Halloween songs, I think.
How about this?
Something strange.
What year was that?
I think that was, what, 83, I want to say? That's great. Ghostbusters is still great. Never take Ghostbusters away from me.
All right, so 83, so okay, so 25 years or something like that?
Yeah.
Right?
30, over 30.
30, okay. How about Danny Elfman? I like this song, but we never play this.
Come with us and you will see. This is our town of Halloween. This is Halloween. This is Halloween.
Great song. From Nightmare Before Christmas, that's got to be close to 25 years old now. By
yeah,
now.
But why don't we play that instead of Halloween Spooks?
Well,
that's a good song,
I think,
right?
I think we got room for both, but I think Halloween Spooks is kind of magic.
What about? Remember we did a contest, I think, before where we had people send in Halloween songs?
Yes.
And GT sent in a song called It's Halloween.
It's Halloween, so get down and eat my candy. It's Halloween, so
that was great.
I love this part. I mean, I love the whole song. Why don't we play this one instead?
I don't know why we don't play that one in addition to Halloween Spooks.
No,
that's
instead,
a great
though.
Choice.
But I'm saying instead.
GT, by the way, still a very, very talented musical artist. Unfortunately, now he is producing songs for the Armenian comedian, so we don't really talk to him much anymore.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Seems like his career is going in the wrong direction, but he's very talented. I love that it's Halloween.
And there's this nonsense from the Shags. What year was this?
I don't know.
This
that was the 70s, I think.
This
70s, 70s.
Is terrible.
It's Halloween. It's Halloween. It's time for scares. It's time for squeeze. It's Halloween.
I love the Shags.
Oh. Favorite part.
Why even Dracula will be there.
Yeah.
I love the Shags because none of them can sing or play instruments, yet that doesn't stop them from trying.
We got a parody yesterday from a listener. And will you be the
this
judge?
Mark Colgrove is his name who sent it in.
You be the judge if this is something that we should start playing regularly because we don't have enough Halloween music. And then I'd like to suggest that because it's so easy these days compared to, you know, even 5 years ago, it's so easy to make music on your own, on your computer or whatever. There's so many programs, so many ways that you can do it. Maybe we need to just put the word out and get some more Halloween songs. Because I'm not positive that Mark's song it has legs.
All right.
So
let's hear it.
Here's Mark's song. And it's a parody of Royals called Candy. Because that's such a good rhyme.
I might be a zombie or a ghost.
I'm out right there. How about you?
I'd like to hear more.
I might be a pirate on a boat. From that movie, I might be a creature or a ghoul, but whatever I am, I want you to know this. I only dress up for the knock knock ding dong, trick or treat, it's me. I came to see if you've got any candy. I don't care if all you have is Tootsie Rolls and candy bears, because it's Halloween, trick or treat. So Murphy, give me something good to eat. If you don't, baby, I don't care. I'll pull down your underwear.
Yes, I'll pull down your underwear. Now, here's the thing. You listen to that song and you go, okay, it's good or it's bad. But what I do in my mind is I compare it to Halloween Spooks.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 10.
You think that's better than Halloween Spooks?
Compared to Halloween Spooks, which I believe is a minus 10. This is genius.
Oh, my God.
I will tell you.
Sorry, Bean, what?
I got to tell you, I'm very impressed with how they put this song together. I mean, it's very well done.
Give me some of your candy. Candy. Reach down into that bowl. I got some Snickers and some dots. Some lemon heads and Ethan Zots. I want all of your candy. Candy. Give it all to me, please. And I'll eat. Don't care if I get cavities.
He's crazy. He doesn't care if he gets cavities.
I'll be honest with you. Halfway through, I couldn't wait for it to end.
Oh, well, that's just mean. Look, Mark's no Weird Al, but that's good.
Somebody came as Edgar Allan Poe.
Still 2.5 minutes to go.
I think we've heard enough.
Two and a
but
half
I think
minutes.
You, I think you have a good idea, though, which is, especially with the people who listen to this radio station, we have a lot of musicians, a lot of people who have this kind of talent. Let's generate some new Halloween songs. Let's at least get some stuff that we can play on our show, because we both love this time of year.
We do, yes. Yeah. I hate Halloween spooks, but Bean loves it. But we both love the time of year.
Mm-hmm.
We love Halloween. I love specialty music if it's not sucky, if it's not ass, like Halloween spooks. So maybe you can come up with one that's better than what you've heard. Send it to us at Kevin and Bean. Maybe you could. How do they do this? We put up a thing online?
Anyway, I mean, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, email, whatever you want to do. Just, yeah, send us your songs. We'd love to hear what you have for Halloween. Yeah, absolutely. Just send us a link to whatever, to YouTube or SoundCloud or whatever. But it would be cool to get some new Halloween songs. And who knows? You know, we might find the next Halloween spooks.
And someone as Marilyn Monroe from the 60s. I saw Chewbacca and Han Solo. But with all of them here, yeah. It's too much competition.
I got to tell you, though, this song's at the beginning, you go, hey, not bad. Literally, though, 30 seconds in, don't you go, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm over this.
Because all I care about is hop, hop, ding, dong. Trick or treat is me. I came to see if you've got any candy. If all you have is caramel squares, I will take them now. Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be played a lot.
It's not
going to be our anthem.
Theme, yeah.
No, it's not going to replace Halloween spooks, I don't think, even though I'd like it to. Bean, no?
Not just yet.
All right, give us some new Halloween music, please. Something that we can play that will not be as bad as Halloween spooks. Send it to us any way you can, and we will play some of the best ones coming up on K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Ralph Garman is live right now and until the end of the show at Universal Studios Hollywood for K-Rock's annual Vein Drain Blood Drive. Tons of prizes for coming down. How's it going? You getting a lot of blood, Ralph?
It's great. We got a packed house, and there is still room for more, though, because they are turning and burning.
Fantastic.
As people come in, they are immediately hitting them over the head with a frying pan and just drain them of all their blood. I was surprised. I didn't think that's how it worked. But, yeah, they're knocking people out and draining them completely dry.
Wow.
So, I just thought they took
a
small sample enough that it wouldn't hurt. You wouldn't miss it. It would replenish, but it would help somebody else who needs
blood. I thought that, too. Turns out, no, they take it all.
Wow.
I was shocked, and apparently there's a big need. So
you are you're there at the Globe Theater at the Universal Studios lot, and you said where the Frankenstein parking lot is where you want to go for easy access. All right?
You park at Frankenstein, and then you just take the elevator up to the 8th floor, and we're right there once you get out of the elevator. And if you come down and you do give blood, it is free parking, so you don't have to be out of pocket if you want to come down and do something good for the world.
Yes, and as you said last hour, it's literally the easiest way in your whole life that you will ever be able to save another human being's life is just by giving a pint of blood.
Absolutely, and we have incentives if you want to come down. We have a little something we're going to give you. We got some tickets for some concerts. But more importantly, we have tickets also for Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights, which if you are a fan of the horror attractions, especially the mazes, Universal just has the best setup. This year they've got the Walking Dead end-of-the-line maze.
Sweet.
Nice.
Which just looks terrifying, and American Werewolf in London, and Clowns 3D, and Dracula. It looks awesome, and they've got some of the characters from Halloween Horror Nights here walking around here, and they're terrifying, and some are pretty hot, too, quite frankly.
All right.
So come on down. We'll give you tickets for the Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights as well, which is ongoing here at Universal Studios.
You are all going to die tonight.
There's a good chance. There's a good chance you're all going to die tonight. Let's take a look at the show business news. Mariah Carey is a mess. She's even more insecure than I could ever have imagined. I'm surprised. She has a personal assistant whose only job is to stand behind her in case she falls. That's how insecure she is.
What?
Yes. She has one assistant whose job is just to trail behind her in case she falls. I don't know. I don't know how often that is a problem or if it's ever happened.
I need that more than she does.
That's when you know you have too much goddamn money if you can hire someone just to walk behind you and keep you from falling over. Isn't that nuts?
Does she have a problem with falling over?
Listen,
that you're aware of?
Maybe she wears really, really, really high heels.
Yes. Or maybe she's loaded all the time. That's why Kevin would need it, just because he's drunk all the time.
That's
she
fantastic.
Is now. There's
that would
Mariah now.
Never happen because you'd have a person to catch you.
That's your only job. That's the best job in the world. How often do you have to work, really? Unless she's
right, but you gotta follow around a crazy person.
Yeah, well.
Hey.
Downside to every job?
That's right.
That day she was on TRL, I know that that guy got a lot of work in. I'll tell you that. Remember
true,
that?
Yeah. Speaking of crazy, Amanda Bynes, I mentioned yesterday, dropped out of the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising where she was enrolled trying to get her fashion career started.
Yeah.
She had to drop out. And apparently for very good reasons. Fellow students told TMZ that she would show up to class high on weed. She would ditch classes. And she used to get into horrendous arguments with her teachers. Would start laughing at inappropriate times during class. And once was caught cheating on a test and threw a fit when she got caught. So apparently everyone is better off without her being in class per se.
Does she have somebody to follow her around and catch her in case she falls?
She doesn't, but I think she could use it. Yeah. As could Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen currently being investigated for assaulting his dentist with a knife.
What the hell?
Apparently he went to see his dentist for an abscess. The dental assistant put on the mask on his face to administer the nitrous oxide. That's when he went nuts, started flailing and striking her. And when the dentist came into the room, that's when Charlie pulled a knife, according to witnesses. And they are currently investigating that situation.
Am I alone in the idea that nitrous oxide is awesome?
What? I've never had
it. How have you never had it, Lisa?
It's awesome.
I don't know.
Haven't you been to the dentist
Novocaine
ever?
Novocaine all the time?
Novocaine I get. Yeah.
Every time?
Every time.
You're missing out.
I'm going to the wrong dentist.
You're missing out. It is awesome.
Yeah, nitrous is the best.
Damn
they
it.
Put on that mask, you just start breathing deeply.
Yeah.
Everything's wonderful.
Aww.
Let me ask you this, Ralph, because maybe I'm confusing my drugs here, but is nitrous oxide, that's laughing gas, right?
Yes, right.
Is that also the one that's kind of a truth serum-y thing?
I don't think
one that's kind of a truth serum, or no? That's not the one that makes you start spilling the beans and talking about stuff you're not supposed to be talking about?
No.
What am I thinking of?
What kind of dentist do you go to that starts grilling you once you're under?
I thought there was sodium.
You think it's sodium pentothal?
Yes. Is that what I'm thinking of? That's different. The dentist doesn't use that.
I've got some questions for you, Mr. Baxter.
All right, we're going to give you cleaning, and I want to know where are the plans? Where are drones located?
Wasn't that a moment of party?
I'm just trying to figure out the Charlie Sheen thing, and I thought maybe that's why he freaked out so much, is because he was afraid that he was going to reveal something, like that hooker he killed or something. I'm just trying to put the pieces together as to why he could have reacted so strongly to just nitrous oxide.
Well, he didn't react to it. She put the mask on, and that's when he went nuts, because she was putting the mask on his face. He didn't
right,
even get
because,
the nitrous.
He didn't because get it. He didn't want the nitrous, though, and I'm trying to figure out why. I thought maybe that's why, is because he was afraid of spilling the beans on something. But
you're the worst detective ever.
Yeah, what? When did he become?
I think maybe he was afraid he would give up secrets.
When did he become a CIA agent? That he's got all this
don't know.
Top
you know
secret
what, you know
stuff.
What is more likely he was freaking high on coke and lost his mind.
That's certainly possible, but alleged.
Yeah, I think it's probably more possible than the I don't want to give up my secrets.
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
Thank you. I'm glad you admit that.
Ambien. Hello, Ambien. The devil's aspirin. Anyone? Ambien.
Yeah, take a handful, Charlie. Today's celebrity birthday, Sting is 63 years old today. Actress Lorraine Bracco turns 60 years old. Bud from Sublime and Long Beach Dub All-Stars, the drummer for those bands, he's 47 years old. Kelly Ripa's 44. Singer Tiffany turns 43 years old. And actor Efren Ramirez, you know him as Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, I voted for that guy.
It was in the movie with the t-shirt.
Yeah, we get it.
I'd like everyone here to boo Bean. Can you boo Bean for me, please? Oh, that's
I don't like having a live audience for
now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We need to spread the hate for you.
Comedy legend Martin Short joins us in about a half an hour or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show. Dr. Drew, the man responsible for bringing Ebola to the United States just after 9. In the meantime,
he's not
though,
responsible for that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he is.
Nope.
In the meantime, if you've had any complaints about unemployment rates in California, I suggest you look to our next guest, Adam Carolla, who's holding all the jobs. He's doing his live podcast on stage December 11th at the City National Grove of Anaheim, on December 12th at the Canyon Club in Agoura. You can get tickets for both shows at adamcarolla.com. You can buy the new flavors of Mangria at carolladrinks.com. And his new season of Catch a Contractor debuts this Sunday night at 10 on Spike TV. He's doing it all. Ace Man, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Always great to be part of the Kevin and Bean Show.
We appreciate that. Hey, real quick, I know we got This Week in Rage coming up, but episode 1 of Catch a Contractor season 2 premiere this Sunday night. Anything cool happen?
Yeah, I invent a new product, the sweat squeegee. We got about a 350-pound bald Hispanic contractor. We're right. shooting in Arleta. It's 104 degrees.
Right.
He's getting yelled at by me and Skip and the homeowners, and there's a lot of sweat flying, tears and sweat. So I invented a squeegee for the forehead.
I am looking forward to seeing
that. He needed it. He couldn't see.
I love it. I like it. All right. That's this Sunday night at 10 o'clock on Spike. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at 3 and working my way on up to number 1. I saw a commercial, nay, multi-commercials these days for the personal pizza. And I've seen these commercials for a while, and I've realized they've been around for a while. Hey, get your personal pizza. And then I thought, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard, the personal pizza. The pizza is about the guys coming over, getting a couple of pepperonis, everybody digging in at the same time. There should be no such thing as a personal pizza. And by the way, you can't get a personal pizza right. The ratio is screwed up. Anything under 8 inches, there's too much crust to cheese ratio. There is a sweet spot for pizza, and when I'm in charge, every pizza will have to fall between 8 inches and 14 inches. They go the other way, too, where they go, oh, we got a pizza that's 14 feet long. It's the size of a Winnebago.
Right.
It'll feed an entire African village. That pizza always sucks, too. Has anyone had a good mini pizza or good pizza that's the size of a manhole cover? No, there's one size. It's between 14 and 8 inches. That is the max. That's the sweet spot of pizza. And I'm just saying, it's a lonely, weird thing, eating pizza alone. I have my personal little pizza. I'm going to get my clown car and go pick it up, and I have a nice 3-ounce Heineken I can drink with it.
So it sounds to me like what you're saying is if you're in the mood for pizza and you are alone, you don't have friends or family around, you need to order a full-size pizza, just have some of it, put the rest in the fridge for another day.
Oh, well, let's stop the presses, Bean. I just came up with another great idea, better than my forehead squeegee.
All right, okay.
An app. I'm hungry for pizza, but I'm alone. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I can put you together like Uber Cab with other lonely fat people who want pizza but don't want to eat alone and cry into their personal pizza.
So you'll see a picture of like a fat guy that lives like 2 blocks from you, and he'll go, I'll come over.
Yeah, I'll come by your mom's place. It wouldn't be your place. But I'll swing by.
Okay.
And, yeah, we'll do like half pepperoni, half sausage and onion. Either way, that'll be part of the app.
Well, like
you know, you'll highlight whatever your topping is. But well, next thing you know, we'll have a lot of friendships for him.
I like it. Problem solved.
Yes, and also a lot of bizarre gay sex. All right, so no more personal pizza. The other thing, yeah, you spoke about Ebola.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, everyone's, oh, boy, all the news, they love it. Oh, Ebola, it's coming. Oh, the first American stricken with Ebola. Listen, I'm an atheist. I think nature knows what she's doing. I've driven through downtown L.A. a couple times in the last few days. A lot of tent cities springing up everywhere. A lot of crazy people walking around the airport with their dogs. Lots of folks barefoot walking through the Starbucks and putting their feet up on the table. Maybe it's time to thin the herd just a little bit. Don't you think nature knows what she's doing?
So you think Ebola should be allowed to continue because certain people need to be weeded out?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I'm not going full Hitler on you here, but look, let's face it, society's taken a turn for the worse in the last few years. A lot of medicine keeping a lot of people around that probably could have gone a few years back, and I just think nature knows what she's doing. She's coming in to thin the herd a little. What I'm saying is, let's weed and not seed for a few years and see what happens, you know?
Okay. Let Ebola do its damage and then see where we're at maybe in 5 years.
Let's see where we're at in a few years. Again, I'm into nature. You guys not into nature? You don't think nature knows what she's doing?
Well, we're into nature, but I'm not sure she has Ebola.
She knows what she's doing.
Okay.
Let's just see if we can clear that up. Make every lane a diamond lane. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Ebola. Mix every lane a diamond lane. See what happens. Don't worry. We're fine.
We're going to run that by the doctor next hour and see what he thinks.
Pass that by Drew. I think he would secretly. He may be saying in the microphone, oh, that's absurd, but he'll be nodding slowly to you.
All right.
All right. And number one, I saw this J-Lo video about her ass. her booty video with Iggy Azalea.
Yeah, yeah, that's good stuff.
But okay, the woman is 45 and a mother of two. Is this what? I don't want to sound like old man Corolla here, but what does her ass have to do with the music? I mean, they're two separate things. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing better than watching slow motion footage of chicks rub their ass against fire poles that are, you know, lubed up with gelatin. That's fine, but why write a song about it? Why not just have a video where you rub your ass against something?
Is that I think they write a song because they want something that people will want to dance to, where they can also shake that ass out on the dance floor.
Why? Well, first off, I think Kool and the Gang and ABBA did just fine getting people out onto the dance floor to shake their moneymaker,
right.
Number one being. Hate to correct you.
Sorry.
But number two, it's not like historically the Beatles came into town in, you know, 1965, and we went, they're sonically they're fine, but there's almost no ass movement on these chaps at all. I mean, they were good. I mean, they play their instruments great. I mean, you know, Ben Folds is fine, but he's sitting there on that piano bench the whole time. I can barely see his crack. What does the ass and the music have to do? I'm just saying, sweetie, you're 45 years old. I have a novel idea. How about writing a decent song that doesn't involve your anus?
Well, I'm certain that she didn't have anything to do with writing it, Adam. Come on, let's all be realistic here.
Well, just write a song about your elbow, then. I'm just saying, it is weird that we're listening to it, but yet the whole allure is you and what's going on in your backside. I don't mind, but what I'm going to tell J-Lo is we have something called porn. It's tried and true. We're fine. We want to put on our earbuds and listen to something good out of you, or just make the leap and just go into porn.
See, once again, he's got all the solutions, doesn't he?
Thank you.
Next time you run into J-Lo at a party, I want you to run that by her and see how it goes. Adam Carolla on stage at the City National Grove of Anaheim. That show is coming up fast at December 11th. December 12th is the Canyon Club in Agoura. There's nothing like seeing a live podcast Adam Carolla show. Go to adamcarolla.com. And don't forget, Catch a Contractor Season 2 premiere on Spike is this Sunday night at 10, including the sweat squeegee. Can't wait, Adam. Thanks for the time, sir.
Thank you.
It's the Kevin. Thank you, Lisa. Oh, sorry, that guy wasn't done. Thank you so much, Lisa. The great Martin Short joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And a quick reminder, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., that's redundant, Weezer is going to be here performing live in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. They're going to be broadcasting live. We'll interview them a little bit. Of course, their new album comes out next Tuesday. They're going to be performing songs for us acoustically in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. You're going to be able to watch the whole thing at krock.com, and you should. And we've been informed yesterday, by the way, that one of the songs on the album is a duet with Bethany from Best Coast.
Oh.
And she is going to be coming down here, too, to sing that song.
That's so
with
cool.
With Weezer. So a little special guest action. That's going to be tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, let's bring our old friend Nick back onto the air. It's been a while since we caught up with Nick. K-Rock listener Nick joins us. Hi, Nick. How are you, man?
Hey, what's up? I'm good.
Hi, Nick.
How are you? Hey, are you working right now? What are you doing?
I'm at my grandmother's house right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Taking a well-earned vacation right now, Nick? Is that what's happening?
No. She just lives in Lancaster. I just come up here to visit often.
But how long has it been since you had a job, Nick?
I looked all summer. I've applied to a lot of places. No one's hired me yet. I've been looking.
But how long has it been since you've had a job?
I haven't had a job this year. Last year, I was employed. I was employed and got fired for a bit, then got rehired. But this year, I haven't had a job.
Zero. Okay.
So are your parents just paying for you right now? Aren't you like 32 years old, Nick?
Well, it's not something I'm happy about. I've been looking all year. It's frustrating.
What have you been trying to get? What jobs have you applied for?
What have I applied for? I've had 4 interviews. I've just applied for anywhere that's hiring. Seriously.
Huh. Because I'm out, and especially this time of year, I see lots of signs in store windows. You know, people are hiring for season or whatever. I mean, it does seem like people are hiring.
I actually have applied a few places in the past week. I've been applying all year. I've had four job interviews this year.
Right.
And I stuck out on all of them.
I can't understand why you don't interview well. That's weird to me, Nick. You seem like such a likable guy.
I am a likable guy.
Here's my question. You don't have to fill out any kind of application, do you?
I fill out lots of applications.
Right.
I turn them in.
Ah.
And And often I put you guys down that I'm on this show. I show up.
You put us as references?
Oh, please do. Absolutely use us as references.
Love it.
I see where you're going with this, Kevin.
Thank you.
The problem is that if Nick is filling out an application, that means the person who has to read that application can't get through it because they only have a certain amount of time on Earth. They can't read whatever 100,000-word essay Nick has written about why he wants to be a cashier.
Here's the thing about Nick. He emails us all the time. And
God bless him for that.
Yes.
Sure. And all of them are books. Full-length books.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable the amount of – the number of words in every email exceeds 100,000.
I love writing. It's what I'm best at.
You know what other people don't edit. People don't love reading all of that. Like, I'll get through, you know, the first couple of days. Then I'll send it to Bean, and he'll get through, like, 3 days of it. And then he'll send it to Lisa. And it usually takes us about 2 weeks to get through.
We cobble it together.
Right.
And then we have a meeting, and we go, all right, I read chapter 8, and here's what he said in chapter 8. Kevin, what did he say in chapter 11?
And we talked about this yesterday in the meeting. Remember, Bean, I was like, there's no way he has a job. Because if he did, he wouldn't have the time.
That's true.
To sit there and write these emails that are unbelievable. What?
Even if I did have a job, I'd still write that much.
I think Kevin's right, is that most of us are efficient in email partly because we're busy and we only have a certain amount of time to address whatever we've got to on the computer. And then we've got to go off and we've got jobs and we've got pets and we've got families and we've got responsibilities and we have hobbies. You have none of those things. If you sit down at 8:30 a.m. and it takes you till noon to write an email, that's fine. That's a good use of your morning.
Wait, what are your hobbies?
What are my hobbies? I love writing. And I like writing all kinds of things.
Right. Are you on Twitter?
I am, yes.
That shocks you, doesn't it, Kevin?
That shocks me.
Because you're limited by the character.
I was going to say, a lot of people are so down on Twitter, they're like, oh, you know, personal interaction has gone out the window and all that stuff. You know what? I think it actually makes people say things more succinctly. It makes them really get to the point quick with fewer words.
Yeah, you have to.
And, Nick, you must not spend much time on it because you
love Twitter. I love Twitter. I'm so good at Twitter. I have lots of stuff to say on Twitter.
But how do you do it in 140 characters? I mean, that's the opening sentence for an email.
Well, sometimes it's a couple more than just one tweet, but still.
Oh, that's what you do, is you just tweet like 10, 20, 30 times in a row.
Not all the time, but usually I can get it down in like one tweet, maybe two.
Nope.
You know?
That's never happened.
I will say that I have never known anyone who is as prolific as Nick is. I mean, I bet you never had any trouble in school. You know, most of us have to pad our essays to get up to 2,000 words.
I bet
you had trouble turning in essays that were anywhere close to the amount of words that they were supposed to be because you went like 10 times past that, right?
No, I actually did well on essays and stuff like that. I actually took a couple classes in spring. I got like an A on everything
I
wrote.
I can tell you why, because you turned in your paper and the teacher went, there's no way I'm reading that. I'm just going to give him an A so I don't have to read this.
No,
life is too short. Right.
Successful method.
All right, listen, Nick, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but we're out of time, and we have to bump you for Martin Short because he's going to be coming up next, comedy legend Martin Short, which we're very excited about. But is there anything we can help you with in terms of finding you a job? Like, what do you think you would be good at? Forget what you want to do. What do you think you would be good at? An employer listing might actually use you.
Anything with writing ability to it, or anything like in show business, preferably. You know.
Show business. Okay.
Nick, I love you. I love you. But a little self-editing when you're right. Just a touch of self-editing.
Yes, I understand.
You know what I mean? Like, cut it down from a 500,000 characters to, say, I don't know, like 200,000.
Tell you what, if I get those Playboy Club episodes, I will be so quiet.
We can't even start that.
We don't even have time to begin this.
Hey, Nick, what's your Twitter handle for folks who want to follow you?
Salvation Writer.
Okay.
W-R-I-T-E-R, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right.
That's how he decided to spell writer, Kevin. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know.
Good to ask.
All right, Nick. Hey, listen, good luck with the job, and thanks for coming on, and stay well.
I will. I so will be well.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Don't use so many words.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Martin Short is on the phone.
national treasure for his native country of Canada, of course, here in the United States, and strangely, Liberia, he is a national treasure, too. I don't know. He's making them laugh through the Ebola crisis, but he joins us back on the Kevin Abinjo after two darn long gone. Hi, Mr. Short. How are you, sir?
How are you, guys? Pleasure to be here.
Always great to catch up with you. Congratulations on being back on the TV. You're at the age where you're just happy when the phone rings, I bet, right?
Just when that phone rings. You can't believe they still care after all these decades.
Now, Martin is on a new show called Mulaney that debuts this Sunday night on Fox, right after The Family Guy, and it's a little bit of a throwback. Wouldn't you say, Martin, it's a little bit old school, shot in front of an audience, three cameras, you hear the laughter, it's kind of different now.
You know, it's interesting. I think that what, you know, John Mulaney is this brilliant brilliant actor, writer, stand-up, is actually trying something that he always, his favorite show growing up was The Cosby Show, and all those shows that were done in front of live audiences. He's from Saturday Night Live, so the attempt is everything is that's old is new, and if you can reinvent that form, you can't just do it the way it was done on Cheers, but you can do it in a different way, maybe half without an audience, half with an audience, and combine a new kind of formula.
Do they allow shows that are not reality shows? I mean, is that a thing?
Well, I mean, it's an experiment. Everything's an experiment, you know.
Okay.
There's not yet until we get the testing.
I see.
Anyone who's inbred on the show.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the big risk.
Well, I'm looking forward to the episode where they take your character, Luke Cannon, and they force him to do some naked dating. I think that's going to be a lot of fun for you to play as an actor.
I know. Listen, by the way, we've shot it, and that was going to be episode 7. But, again, when they saw it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yes.
Number 2. Right up
there. Luke Cannon is a little bit, your character is a little bit, he's a show business legend, kind of in his own mind. Would you say that's fair, Martin?
Yeah, well, those are the most fun people to play. You know, morons with power, people that, I mean, I have been with famous people in my day where I'll sit there and I'm listening to their stories, you know, so that I was locked into a two-shot, so I knew what was going on, you know,
right.
And you sit there and you think, boy, if this was transcribed, they would be stunned to see that it was just a monologue for about 8 minutes. But they have no perception of that. Good people, good-hearted,
right.
Just narcissistic.
That's interesting. I saw you with your friend Jimmy Kimmel on the TV this week, and it's always fun when you're I love Jimmy, too. And, you know, he used to work on this show, Martin. You know, he did sports for the Kevin Abinjo for 5 years before he started on TV.
Like, I don't know that.
Yeah. Martin comes out, Kevin. You would love this. He said, the main reason I'm here, yes, I have a TV show this weekend, but I'm mainly here to promote my November 4th appearance on The Letterman Show.
I like it.
which I thought was great. But you talked to him about how, and I thought of this when you mentioned the showbiz legends that you've worked alongside, that you've finally written a book. Your autobiography is coming out soon.
Yes, I must say my life is a humble comedy legend. You know, we had many titles, Stroke Me, Lady Fame, you know, Sunday in the Park with George Michael. But this is the one we landed on.
What was that experience like for you to sit down and try to remember those stories and put those stories down and remember who's still alive to hear it?
I have a memory. I know exactly. It's not quite like Mary Lou Henner, but mm-hmm. It's in the ballpark of, I can know, like, I have three kids, so I can be sitting talking to my 24-year-old son and know exactly what I was doing at 24, let's say 3 months.
Really?
In fact, the other day I was telling someone that I said, you know, I'm just kind of like that Mary Lou, and I couldn't remember Henner. So it's not perfect.
You know what's funny is that we get pitched guests all the time and we go, oh, you know, I'm not sure. And then our producer will go, by the way, you've talked to them 3 times. And Bean and I will go, what?
I don't know. Yeah. Paul Schaefer is my good. For years, I would say, let's say, we were having dinner after a taping of two Lettermans. I'd say, Paul, who was on the show? I have no idea.
Isn't that something?
I don't know.
Now, is that because he didn't pay attention when the guests were on, or no?
No, it's just too many shows.
Just too much.
They run into each other.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I do know. Yeah, my wife will ask me today on the way home, what did you do on the show? And I will not remember Martin Short, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, sorry.
That's a sign of an illness.
That could be.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, that's me.
This is the voice of Martin Short here on the Kevin Abinjo Show, again, talking about, among other things, Mulaney premiering this Sunday night at 9:30 on Fox. I wanted to ask Mr. Short, because last week we lost, speaking of those show business legends, we lost Skippy Lowe passed away finally. Right. And we have always understood that your Jiminy Glick was kind of a combination of your dad and Skippy Lowe. Is that true?
No, I wouldn't say my – well, it had elements of my father in that there was sarcasm and sarcasm. My father was an Irish guy, so, you know, it was – verbal sarcasm was the way of life in our family.
Right.
But there was a dash of Skippy. There was a dash of Merv. There was a neighbor. It, you know, all these characters are based on little dollops of different people. Definitely a dollop of Skippy.
I went right to YouTube.
What I love about Skippy Lowe is that they do his face in dark makeup, like tan two, but they'd forget to do his hands. So when he put his hand up to his chin, it was like this, you know, a white hand on a, you know.
Like, whose hand is that?
Whose hand is that anyway?
I did laugh, though, because when the news came out, I went to YouTube and started watching some clips because I wasn't in Southern California to see that show when it was on. And it was so Jiminy-like, the questions. He'd have Milton Berle there, and every question he would ask would be something that didn't happen to Milton Berle. You know? And it was just so awkward but so funny.
Well, I hadn't seen him much because of, of Canada and stuff. But when I saw him, I thought, well, this is a great – it was his sincerity that was so great about Skippy.
Yes, you could tell that he really genuinely loved those people and was thrilled to be there.
Yeah.
But had no idea about them.
Well, you know, you know, as Jiminy Glick once said, you know, the worst thing about Charlie Rose is he listens.
All right, before we let you off the phone, give me 30 seconds to wow our listeners with a clip from the show Mulaney. Now, this is your character, Lou Cannon, who is very concerned about how he's going to be found after he dies and how people will remember him. So he is talking to the title character, Mulaney, about how the publicist should handle it.
You see, John, celebrities have to control their death. If not, then the media takes over the narrative.
Yeah.
For example, how did Michael Jackson die?
Oh, he's a troubled pop star. He died tragically.
Sad. Here's how I would spin it. Pop icon Mike Jackson, who left behind music to raise a family, died peacefully with his dear friend Conrad. Now, you try one. Courtney Love.
Courtney Love is still alive.
Great spin.
See, there you go. Lou Cannon from Mulaney this Sunday night at 9:30 on Fox. Funny stuff, Martin. Always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Thank you for the time.
You guys always.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Why do you want your picture with you and this doll? It's possessed by a demon. What's wrong with you people? This doll's possessed by a demon. Why do you want your photo with it?
I believe that's a movie that you're talking about there, Ralph.
The doll's sitting right next to me. Trust me. It's possessed by a demon. I can tell.
All right. That's Ralph talking about Annabelle, by the way, which opens up everywhere in theaters tomorrow. They are also sponsoring the K-Rock Vein Drain Blood Drive. Ralph is at Universal Studios Hollywood right now until the end of the show, giving away lots of prizes. And you got that creepy doll that you got to work next to, Ralph?
I'm sitting right next to Annabelle. She's in a rocking chair, and I'm pretty sure that I think she's crying blood.
You're going to die.
I'm pretty sure she's crying blood. Ralph, either that or she has the Ebola virus.
This is Ralph's last broadcast. It's sad.
It probably is.
Might be, yes.
You can head on down there, by the way. Free parking if you donate blood. Lots of prizes to be given out. You were at the Universal Studios at the Globe Theater Park in the Frankenstein parking lot is what you're saying there.
Frankenstein, come up to the eighth level, and that's where the Globe Theater is. We're right near the Despicable Me Minion Mayhem ride in Universal, if you're familiar with it. So that's where to go.
And K-Rock is going to be down there. Ralph leaves at the end of the hour, the end of the show, but K-Rock is going to be down there all the way till 3 p.m. So it's a great opportunity for you to go by, do something nice, donate some blood, maybe win a prize as well. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday. What's going on?
It is all about the testicles.
What?
All right, next story. this is a new phenomenon. You know, since the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge took over the internet there for a little while, a lot of charities are trying to get their own social media and internet phenomenons going to raise awareness for their particular diseases. And such is the case with testicular cancer. They have a new phenomenon that they are trying to get going on the internet called the Crotch Grab Challenge, where celebrities are grabbing their crotches to show solidarity with testicular cancer and to encourage men to check their testicles for cancer.
Michael Jackson did this long before it became popular.
He was a leader. He was a leader in the forefront of this challenge for sure. It's from a charity group called Check 1-2. See, get it? Check 1-2.
I like it.
And they are trying to get celebrities to post pictures of themselves with their hand in their crotch grabbing their testicles. And so far it's taking off. Yep. Hugh Jackman's already got his online.
Now, inside the pants or outside?
Outside the pants.
Okay.
Will Arnett also can be seen checking himself. If you want to check it out on Twitter or Instagram, the hashtag is feeling nuts. Hashtag feeling nuts.
Now, Kevin brought up Michael Jackson.
I feel like I'm being set up.
No, this is true. Hugh Jackman, by the way, also challenged Neil Patrick Harris, Michael Strahan, and Ricky Gervais to do it. Gervais accepted the challenge and nominated William Shatner to do it. Shatner accepted the challenge on Twitter by saying, "I accept Ricky Gervais's challenge, but of course I will have to use more than one hand."
Kevin brought up Michael Jackson, who kind of started this whole thing back in the 80s, and he also went the extra step, which is to check others' testicles as well. He was so concerned about testicular cancer, if you recall, he wanted to make sure young men didn't get it.
Allegedly.
See what you did there?
Because he's saying that. Ugh,
nothing funnier than molesting kids.
Oh, nuts!
More showbiz news. Our buddy Bill Burr has some good news. The FX network has given the go-ahead for a new comedy series starring Bill Burr.
That's fantastic.
Called Pariah. It's a story of an over-the-top TV personality who has an on-air meltdown, and that forces him to leave showbiz and get a real job. I can only imagine, because Bill's starring in it, it's going to be very funny. So I'm looking forward
to it. He's a good actor, too.
He is a good actor.
I remember him from Breaking Bad and a bunch of things he's been in.
Absolutely. And this is kind of cool. They've discovered a new movie. It's a 100-year-old silent film starring the character of Sherlock Holmes.
Wow.
Really?
Sherlock Holmes is played by American actor William Gillette, who famously played him on stage. He was, at the time, the most famous actor to play Sherlock Holmes, and he created a lot of signature items about the character. You know that deerstalker hat, for example, that you always see William Sherlock Holmes in? It's got the two caps, one in front,
right,
one in back.
Right.
This guy was the first guy to ever wear that hat for the character. So he created on stage a lot of the things we still associate with Sherlock Holmes. But this is the first time they've ever seen him playing him in a movie. It was discovered in a French film archive. No one knew it existed. It's 100 years old, and they're going to release it, and people can see this guy playing this character for the first time.
How weird.
Hard to believe. 100 years later, yeah. You know, we've got Sherlock Holmes in theaters now with Robert Downey Jr. 100 years ago, the character was still making movies. Of course, it's a silent film, so Kevin will never see
that's
it.
That's correct. Yeah, because it doesn't even register on the loud meter.
Right.
That's right.
It's important.
It's literally zero louds.
Doesn't matter, no matter how. Oh, remember how much Kevin hated the freaking artist from a couple of years ago.
That's right. And that actually had some sound in it. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, the 2nd of Rocktober.
You'll never be real.
That's not rock.
In my blood.
It's not Rocktober music at all.
I think it is.
That's not a different kind of bird.
Yeah, that's not what we wanted at all. Sorry, that was my mistake.
It's not rocking at all.
Try it again, and you guys do it right on your end.
Okay. All these stars were born on today, the 2nd of Rocktober. Yeah.
Better?
Nice.
When you think Rocktober, you think Tiffany.
I'm sorry?
That's right.
Tiffany.
Tiffany.
Remember Tiffany?
Yeah, I think We're Alone, Girl.
I think we're alone now. She's 43.
Remember, she was in Playboy 10 years ago or so.
Yeah.
And looked great, Ralph.
She did one of those sci-fi creature features not too long ago, her and Debbie Gibson.
That's right.
They co-starred.
Right.
It was Mega Python versus
whatever.
Octopussy or something.
Whatever mixture.
Ephraim Ramirez from Napoleon Dynamite is 41 years old today. Kelly Ripa turns 44 years old. Lorraine Bracco, remember her as Tony Soprano's psychologist in The Sopranos, 60 years old. And Sting turned 63 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
24 hours from right now, by the way, I hope you are listening and or watching online at KROQ.com. The band Weezer will be here performing live and acoustic in the Red Bull Sound Space here at KROQ. We are very excited about that. Of course, the new Weezer album. Everything I've heard from, by the way, has been terrific from that record.
I agree.
Comes out next Tuesday, so they'll be performing live right here on the Kevin Bean Show. You won't want to miss it. Hey, let's talk to Dr. Drew Pinsky, the man who brought Ebola to this country. Hi, Doc. How are you?
Thanks, Bean.
We were just talking off the air with our friend Ralph Garman, who is down at the KROQ Vein Drain Blood Drive at Universal right now, and he was saying that he's going to New York next week for some filming and that his wife was terrified that he was flying right now because of the Ebola being out there in the world and the fact that a passenger just got back to the United States from Liberia and ends up having the Ebola. How much of a real danger is it for passengers in the air, Doc?
About zero. How about zero? I don't understand that kind of thinking. I
think it's people don't understand, you know,
they don't understand how it's a risk. I mean, you're much more likely, Ralph is much more likely to get hit by a car or some sort of he's like more like a hit by the trams at Universal today than he is to get Ebola. Much more likely. I guess the problem is people can't really assess risk when there's something very dramatic. I mean, that's why we have fear of flying. I mean, flying is one of the safer activities we can do, but because the actuality or the idea of a plane crash is so dramatic, we can't put that risk in context. We just want it to be a zero risk and absolutely no risk. Last time we talked about Ebola, did I say that Ebola could not get to this country or would not get to this country?
No, you said it was only a matter of time.
Well, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
And it is only a matter of time, and there will be other cases. But, you know, these people know what they're doing and how to contain these things.
So we're all going to die?
But look, Dr. Drew, you
Ralph,
say that these people...
that only Ralph is going to die. He's going to lick the tray on his at his seat, and something's going to get in his system, and he's going to die. Yeah.
But listen. All right. I got a question.
Yes.
Doctor,
yes,
you say that we know what to do and we know how to control this, but this guy who's got the Ebola in Texas went to a hospital and said, I have a fever, I don't feel well, and I just got back from Liberia, and they gave him pills and sent him home.
Bad form.
So bad on
them. They saw him outside of his apartment complex vomiting in the streets, and they still didn't take him to the hospital.
Hold on. Somebody vomited in the street? That's a great story. But look, here's the deal. That was bad. That was really the part of the story that is problematic, is he exposed apparently some children in his household, each of whom went to different schools, and those parents freaked out. And I understand that. That's getting a little close, and people would freak out about that. And, well, they should. That's how this thing is not going to spread, is that we are going to be able to contain it. And let's review how it does spread for people that aren't aware yet. I think most people are aware. It's not spread through air. It's something that's spread through direct body fluid contact. It's relatively difficult. It's highly contagious, but relatively difficult to spread. And the people are not contagious until they get sick. So it's not like certain flus where there's a big viral burst before you really get sick. And so some people can be contagious before they even know they're ill. This is a infection, a virus, that becomes infectious. You're loaded with virus when you become sick. And that's when people are being quarantined. Now, this guy that went home, bad form. Listen, I'm sort of glad that happened, because that now will not happen again. Will not happen again. People are going to be super – the idea is get tested. You get a crazy flu-like syndrome with a lot of headache and a lot of body ache, you get tested for Ebola.
Now, and they can test for Ebola? There is such a test?
Yes, there's a test.
Now, Drew, I heard a doctor yesterday saying that the way that it's transferred is so – it's so difficult to transfer. Like, if you're sitting next to a guy on a plane and that guy has Ebola, he coughs on you, you're most likely not going to get it.
Let's get real specific.
Okay.
Ralph is sitting next to a guy on the plane.
Yes.
Yes, Ralph. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Guy coughs on him.
Yeah.
Guy has Ebola and coughs on him.
Yeah.
What are the chances he gets Ebola?
If there's some, because, again, there's particulate stuff that can come out of your mouth. But it's unlikely. If the guy's sitting there minding his own business and Ralph doesn't touch him or anything he's immediately touched, you're fine. You really are. So here's what you should do every time you get on a plane. You should bring your Clorox wipes, the antiviral wipes, and you should wipe everything down, because there's all kinds of infectious diseases out there you can get. And planes are relatively – your planes, your computers, your phones, your purses, these are relatively dirty environments that you can clean up with a little Clorox, you know, antibacterial, antiviral wipes, and go do that. Go do that. And wherever you sit in a plane, and it's, again, a nice reminder that we should be paying attention to this kind of thing, but you're not going to get Ebola. Only Ralph's going to get Ebola.
Is the reason why literally thousands of people have died in West Africa of Ebola just because it's not a first world country where they have access to those sorts of things to help clean up?
That really seems to be the issue. It's more that there's inadequate resources, there's inadequate responses, and that is really, if that keeps going, let's talk then in a month if there's a million Ebola sufferers and, spreading around or people are fleeing the country. I mean, that gets kind of a little bit of a different story then, but I really believe we will contain it very effectively in this country.
Do you think this is going to be a lot like the bird flu and everything else that was so popular that was on all the newscasts.
Yeah.
And then nothing happened.
And I believe I was saying the same kind of thing back then. Don't panic about these things.
Let me ask you one more question on this, Doc, and that is one of the things that's come out is that I am shocked how much air travel there is to the United States from these countries in West Africa. Tens of thousands of people every year. Do you think we'll get to the point where we'll stop accepting flights from those countries?
I hope not. That would be a really disastrous thing. It'd be very interesting if we did. I mean, I suppose if there's something terrible happening, you know, where we have to do that, we would. But that struck my ear too. That was kind of interesting how much exchange there is, and I'm kind of glad for that. But you know, they got to watch these things. I'm sorry for United Airlines. People are going to be fearful of flying United. That's ridiculous.
Right, Dr. Drew on call.
What if we had a plane that had only Ebola patients, like an Ebola flight, and then they would get here, but they would go right to Atlanta?
You heard me. That's the one Ralph's going to take.
All right. Tune in to HLN for Dr. Drew on call Monday through Thursday nights at 6 o'clock. A horse love line with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood here on KREX Sunday through Thursday nights at 10, and a fine family of podcasts available at drdrew.com or podcast1.com. I'm very disappointed you did not whip anybody into a needless frenzy today, Doctor. But thank you for the time anyway.
Thank you. Bye.
We're all going to die. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38.
In the remaining minutes of K-Rock's Vein Drain Blood Drive going on right now at Universal Studios Hollywood, Ralph will be there for a few more minutes at the end of the show. And then, Ralph, what? They stay down there till 3 o'clock taking blood?
We'll be taking blood till 3 p.m. today. And this is a real good time to come down, by the way, because we had sort of a morning rush, people trying to get in before they went off to school and work. And now it looks like we actually have some room in the waiting room, at least people waiting to give blood. So if you want to come down now, this would be a good time to give some blood. As Bean mentioned, we'll be here until 3 p.m., and we still have tickets to give away to people who donate, tickets for some concerts like Kings of Leon and Newfound Glory, Queens of the Stone Age, and also we have tickets for Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights here as well, which is a very hot ticket. That seems to be the most popular one right now, but come on down, and we'll give you some tickets if you give some blood, and the people from Honda here, the helpful Honda people are here in their blue shirts, and I think they're giving away cars.
What?
Or snacks. I can't really tell. I can't really tell whether it's a cookie or an automobile. I'm not sure. But
wow.
Why don't you come on down and find out.
Get all the details in terms of exactly where we're set up and parking and the whole deal at krock.com.
Time for the show, Bisbee.
Speaking of tickets, I do have tickets also to see Garfunkel and Oates. Yay! Very funny ladies. If you watch their show on IFC or you've seen their videos and their funny songs, you can check them out at the Avalon. They're performing there on October the 16th. You can get tickets at livenation.com. Or you can call me now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 16 will win a pair of tickets to see Garfunkel and Oates at the Avalon on the 16th, and also a meet and greet with the ladies. So call now if you'd like to see Garfunkel and Oates. As I mentioned, tickets available at livenation.com. Charlie Sheen went to the dentist high on rock cocaine. And you know, that's never a good idea.
Is that what it was?
Well, the dental technician who Charlie assaulted when she tried to put the nitrous oxide mask on his face, she told the cops that Charlie's bodyguard told the dentist that Charlie was high on rock cocaine. So,
wow.
The reason the bodyguard is trying to explain Charlie's behavior to the dentist is because Charlie pulled a knife on the dentist and went after him.
Oh, man.
So the bodyguard said, you have to excuse Charlie. He's high on rock cocaine.
Do you have to excuse him for attacking you with a knife?
I think you do.
Oh,
if he's
okay.
High on rock cocaine.
Okay.
Who amongst us is responsible for our behavior when we're high on rock cocaine?
That's fair.
Us goes to the dentist when we're high on rock cocaine?
Look, he had an abscess. Apparently, he's in a lot of pain. So, what better time to use the rock cocaine than when you have an abscess?
Just trying to kill the pain.
I guess so.
And Lisa told us earlier that she has never had nitrous oxide.
Mm-mm.
Is that the type of thing that is portable enough that we could find somebody who could bring it down and we could give her some on the air?
No,
just get
you
some
guys
whipped cream.
Know.
Get some whipped cream can. We'll just do whippets.
Is that what it is? It's the same as that?
Same stuff.
Same stuff.
All right.
Don't you guys know anything about cheap highs?
I've heard about cheap highs, quick deaths. But with the whipped cream, though, what do? Do you empty it out of whipped cream and then what's left, or how does that work?
Yeah, you empty out the whipped cream, and then the gas that's used as the propellant in the can is nitrous. And you just
Mugs could empty it out for us. He could handle the whipped cream for us, and then we could give the can to Lisa, and she'd get some nitrous oxide out of it.
We could probably get a little whip at some place. Somebody would have those little canisters of nitrous that they have.
You guys
know
gotta
how do that.
Bad I am with this stuff.
Oh, this stuff's great, Lisa.
Yeah,
it's
all
great.
No, until
Lisa, this is
no,
it's quick. It's a quick high. You don't stay high all day. Once you're done, you have a couple of fresh air breaths, and you're fine. You get over it. But there's the couple of minutes there when you're in the middle of it. Good times.
Yeah, it barely lasts a couple of minutes. Honestly, this
how
is not
you
something
know
you're
Bean?
Yeah, like
because I've been to the dentist.
A bunch of whippets.
Because I've been to the dentist. I'm just saying, this isn't. You're not going to end up curled around a tree in the K-Rock parking lot like with the last
guys.
Thing. Okay?
Mark these words.
We will.
Mark these words.
No, we're telling you this is a different drug.
Lisa will be crying in the bathroom again.
Yeah. So
guys.
you guys are with me, right? We're on this now?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Lisa,
okay, Lisa,
you're in?
It's a terrible idea.
I'll
Lisa,
do it. Lisa on whippets.
I will think about it.
Whippets real good. Hey, Jasmine Tri-Devil's back in the news. Remember her?
Three boobs?
Girl with three boobs? Girl with three boobs. The story, of course, was found out to be a hoax when they found her, when she claimed that her luggage was stolen and inside one of her bags was the three-boobed prosthetic that she was using to fool people into believing that she had three boobs. Well, now another story involving Jasmine Tri-Devil has come out from Tampa, Florida. You know, she is the ultimate Tampa, Florida woman.
Yep.
A man has come forward and claimed that Jasmine kept him as a sex slave. He's an 18-year-old man named Michael Squire.
Like kidnapped him?
Yes, and he claims that Jasmine Tri-Devil forced him to sleep in a dog cage, beat him and humiliated him, and even wanted to carve her name into his chest.
Oh, my gosh. What is going on with this lady?
Now, Jasmine Tri-Devil admits that she had him as a slave, but she claims she never had any sex with him. She just beat him.
Is that better?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think if you're going to get beat and have your chest carved open, you should get a little out of it. You know what I'm saying?
And isn't this the same woman when her story was unraveling a couple weeks ago about the extra breast? Didn't we find out that she had been involved in some other weird thing where she was in some sort of a domestic abuse thing and some guy had to hold a sign out in front of a building to, you know, to apologize to her? I mean, she was out there like, do you remember that? Did you read anything about that?
It was another hoax that she claimed that she was a victim of domestic abuse. Rather than press charges, she had her assailant carry a sign out front of her apartment building claiming that he was guilty for what he did and how sorry he was.
That bitch is crazy.
So she's hey, look at me. That's what this is all about.
She's a little nutty, yeah.
Yeah.
And do you love that show on Fox, that the life-game-changing television show Utopia, the most fascinating television experiment in the history of television?
I've not seen a second
of it. The hottest hit on television? Fox's Utopia?
It guaranteed would run for a year, that they were invested in creating a new society from the ground up, right?
That's right. It was the most daring reality show experiment in the history of television. America's favorite new show, the biggest hit on television, Utopia.
I haven't had a chance to check it out yet.
Two nights a week. Two nights a week it was showing. Because there was just too much show to contain.
It's already been on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It's been on for a while.
Hmm.
Fox has announced they're cutting it back to just one night a week. Because no one is watching the hottest show on television.
Yeah. I hope they don't tell the contestants when the show gets canceled. I hope they just let them live out the whole rest of the year. And it's not even on TV. They don't know it.
The show is not pulling in good ratings. It's being replaced on Tuesday nights with another season of MasterChef Junior, which they think will do better than Utopia.
Little kids that cook.
Little kids that cook.
Oh, my God.
Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars are born on today, the 2nd of Rocktober.
That bitch is crazy.
Okay. Sting is 63 years old today. Lorraine Bracco celebrates her 60th birthday. Bud, drummer from Sublime and Long Beach Dub All-Stars, is 47. Talk show host Kelly Ripa is 44. Tiffany is 43 years old. And Efren Ramirez from Napoleon Dynamite played Pedro. He's 41 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have front row tickets for the Kings of Leon. We also have RJ Bell talking about his NFL picks for the weekend.
He's never wrong, that guy, by the way.
I think he's been 100%.
I think. It's pretty shocking.
Which is scary. The creator of Community, Dan Harmon, will be in the studio. Very excited about that. And also excited about live music from Weezer as they perform live on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning.